Hello, friends. Welcome to the Life is Hard, God is Good podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Larson, and today we have special guest, Drew Larson. And so he's joined us today as we're talking about how to share the gospel. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Good.
Happy to be a Kotatsu Christian.
Kotatsu Christian. Yes, we're sitting here with our Kotatsu, which is like a hot table.
Yes, a Kotatsu warming table. There's a little heating element underside with a blanket that contains the heat on top of a heat-resistant carpet.
Yeah,
beneath,
nice soft guy.
Nice it's a little pocket of human warmth, enjoyment. I don't know. I almost went even deeper than that, which is a little too much.
Yeah, we basically just enveloped in warmth and softness, so it's pretty great. But, yeah, so today we're talking about how to share the gospel, so we can go ahead and dive on in. So why is sharing the gospel important?
Well, it is humanity's greatest need is to understand and know the profound level to which God loves us.
Mm.
And to believe it, and believe that it is above all this other earthly stuff that gets in the way, like jobs or, you know, money, sex, power, fame, all this other stuff that we seek to gratify us in other ways. And in a way that the gospel is needing to be understood and grasped daily, if not hourly, by all people. And so it is the greatest thing to share with other people. And to yourself. As I say this, you need to remind yourself. And I read it in many books now. One of them is very good. It's like, you literally need to switch your internal computer setting to gospel mode. Every day, you need to turn gospel mode on.
That's good. Yeah, because it's not natural.
It is not natural. Yeah. It's not. Anyway, it's the single most important thing we can share with people.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because besides, we're told to, like, love God and love others, but then, like, when Jesus is ascending up, he gives the Great Commission to go out in all the world and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And he says, remember that he is with us always to the end of the age. And if we love him, we'll obey his commandments. We want to go out and share that. And we want to be ready at any time to give a reason for the hope that we have.
Mm.
And like you said, the gospel we're sharing is the love that he has for us. That Jesus, who is the Son of God, came to earth. He lived the perfect sinless life. He was crucified as a sacrifice for our sins. Was raised to life. And we can be saved from our sin if we put our hope and trust in him. Because in him we find forgiveness of sins and love greater than we can imagine. And someday we get to see him again and spend all eternity with him. So it's really great. And it's hard for us to remember. Like, we know that in our heads. Like, if you're a believer, you know that in your head. But, like, I like what you said. They have to switch to gospel mode, like, every day. It's hard to remind our hearts, I guess, that that's the reality that we have and the love that we have. But even though it's like the biggest and most important thing to share with others, it's not very easy to do that. Why is sharing the gospel hard?
Oh man. Well, I've got my default answers of, you know, people pleasing and not wanting to be different or, you know, an oddball out, right? And wanting to just, well, the ISFP in me and the peacemaker and the adventurer just wants to have things be smooth. So there's nervous about the reactions of other people. I think a lot of the time, though, it's sort of what I was talking about with the switch thing. Sometimes it's hard because you're not in a space where you fully believe it yourself. It can be harder that way if you're... I mean, we're all slowly growing and being sanctified as Christians if you do profess to believe this. But it can be hard if it doesn't feel like, if you haven't switched that switch on today, it can make it even harder to share it. Because if you're not experiencing the freedom that comes from knowing and believing that Jesus truly is the best thing, and he truly is loving you and likes you, it's going to be harder to share it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you fully believe that, it's a lot easier to share that. Mm.
But yes, other people.
Yeah.
They can say things.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole people-pleasing thing and, like, not wanting to be weird or stand out. And, like, that's, like, a tactic, really, that the enemy uses because he doesn't want us to share with others. I was reminded, actually, from a sermon from our church back in the States. He shared from Matthew 10:28, the "Don't fear those who kill the body but are not able to kill a soul. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We shouldn't fear anybody but to fear him. And then I've been reading Acts, because that's what our church back home is going through, Acts right now. And in Acts 5, after the religious leaders were telling the apostles not to share Jesus with people, they kept sharing the gospel, and Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than people." So that's like a hard, I don't know. It's easy to let people be bigger than God sometimes.
Yeah.
But then it's really not loving people to not share the truth and the love that we have.
Yeah.
So what helps to overcome that, to, like, share the gospel? Overcoming your own realization of the truth, remembering that, and how do you overcome that? How do you overcome fear of people to be able to share?
You just try really hard. All your human abilities. You can eventually do it.
You just work
out. Gamate kudasai. Do your best. You got it. You can do it all. It's all within you. To some degree, that is true, right? If you truly believe that Jesus is your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. So the power is within you. The same power that rose him from the grave is within you. So you can do your best, but you have to realize that it's not coming entirely from you, and that's the difference. And so that's where the prayer comes in. That's where discipline over passion comes in sometimes. I know that you're also a feeler, and I know that half our population should be technically feelers, and the other half could be thinkers. So the feelers, I know we would want to often be, okay, I'm going to share the gospel when I'm really feeling it. Mm. I'm in the God vibe right now, you know, like, oh, just had a worship song, had a good sermon. I'm just on fire, right? It's not always how it's done. And we have to recognize that, you know, of all cultures and all peoples that he did come for, there's different ways of sharing, and there's different attitudes that you have at different times. And sometimes it's that faithful dedication to speak a word that you don't even want to say. So you need to rely on prayer, I think, is the big thing here. And realize that it's not even your message. It's not your message. The Spirit will convict hearts. It's not yours. It's Jesus. He had a pretty negative response to what he did.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think as long as you remember those things, it helps. And not being so stuck to the moment and remembering that things move on. You could have a really bad reaction from someone, but then within, you know, 48 hours, you can be, oh, that really sucked. or that happened, but I'm now back on my regular life, you know. Mm-hmm. You can get through the moment, then you can be done with it. And we do. Time has never stopped, so.
Yeah.
You can move on from it. He'll heal that, and he'll teach you from it, and he'll be good.
Yeah. Kind of managing, I guess, expectations going in. You want to have hope that it goes really well, and that they hear the truth. But also, Jesus obviously experienced terrible rejection, and so did the apostles. Like, they were thrown in jail and beaten and tortured and were, like, threatened. But their response was, after they were, like, released and beaten, that they just prayed for boldness to continue. And God answered that. Like, he gave them the Holy Spirit. Like, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak the word of God boldly. So it's like relying on God, but also making every effort. So it's kind of like a 50-50 almost. Well, I guess 100% God, 100% you. You want to give your all, and you want to rely on him 100%. But yeah, definitely talking to God about it, and yeah, hoping for the best, but also knowing that Jesus tells us that the world will hate us because of him. But we want to remember that the reward is awesome if someone does cling on to that hope. Mm. In James 5, it says, "My brothers and sisters, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let that person know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover over a multitude of sins." So it's awesome when that happens, and sometimes it will and sometimes it won't when you share, but you want to overcome the little hurdles in the way. It's worth it.
Hmm. I think, okay, and I see your note here. To be honest, you got a good note here. What I was going to talk about also is, yeah, I think what you're talking about setting expectations is very big. Because it might not just, everyone wants that moment where it's like, oh, I totally see you've made Jesus clear to me for the first time in my 24-year life, or whatever. I've never understood this before. I might actually give this a shot. Let me dive in with him. Everyone wants that immediate, like, oh, I had the words to say that triggered this, blah, blah, blah. But I think remembering sometimes is like the 1 Corinthians 3 portion. To the church and its leaders, he's talking about like people that are quarreling between Paul and Apollos. They brought them, right? And he says, verse 5 starts with, this is 1 Corinthians 3:5. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow.
Mm.
So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building.
That's good, yeah.
So we are all kind of a part of this. That's the 100%, 100% thing. 100% us, 100% God. Like, we're co-workers with him. It's 100% our conviction, 100% our... fighting this sinful tendency and having our will go through it, but 100% him partnering with us and giving us the strength to do so. So, yeah. And remembering that we're just a small piece of this greater gospel picture, right?
Yeah, it's really not about us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's his work. That's good. I like that. What are some ways that you have shared the gospel with people?
So much of it is indirect. I can't think of a time where I just... And they were encouraging moments about in college, in NRC, there were times when it was, okay, here's my direct testimony, right? I think my best ways of sharing are in small... you know, prayer offers to people, right? God, you know, God cares about you. I'm going to talk to him about this. Or, just anytime you're in service, opportunities to step into, like, even a simple volunteer position. It doesn't even have to be necessarily church originated, I guess is what I'm trying to say, right? Like, you can,
but you don't have to be in a church setting to, yeah,
to be volunteering and showing people that, you know, God loves them and testifying to what he's done for you. I very simply share music a lot on Instagram. Sharing music that testifies to the gospel is big for me. Talking openly about what my thoughts are with coworkers a lot, especially in the American workplace. I haven't really gotten a ton of that yet. In Japanese, it's a little harder, right, to convey some nuance in second languages, but I think at my last American workplace, it got to the point where I was almost counseling a couple other coworkers in life. It's like, what do you think I should do about this? I'm like, oh well, here's a Jesus loving, hopefully Bible centered perspective for you that I have. Let me share what I understand about your situation or what I've experienced. And so, and that's often just lending an ear and listening. And you don't have to necessarily be like, oh, here's what I would do. Sometimes it's just listening to people. Hearing them out. A lot of it's indirect.
Yeah.
Eventually providing, like, okay, well, I remember... Sorry, I'm talking a long time.
No, you didn't.
But if you're going through something and you're going to God for that help or you're sharing it, I think it's important to let other people know if they ask, mm-hmm. right? Like, okay, what's... They notice you're doing wrong and that they're doing poorly. And you're like, oh, like, yeah, I am. And here's the hope I have, right? Mm-hmm. A coworker of mine who I really... respect and enjoy working with at that last job. We didn't really have any sort of relationship until I did something like that. He didn't really kind of know who I was or much of what I was doing, but one time I was like really going through it. It may have been tied to our breakup. I don't even know. To be honest with you, actually, now that I think about it, maybe, I don't know. And he's like, how you doing? I'm like, it's rough. Work was rough at the time, and so was home life. And I told him as much. I'm like, but I'm glad I have this anchor that I can cling to in the storm. He's like, and he was just like, well, would that happen to be Jesus Christ? And I was like, well, okay. I guess I don't have to have this gospel conversation with you, but I was ready for it. And that was fruitful in being very encouraging to me, because it was then his friendship that kept me at that job for the next, well, was one key factor in keeping me at that job for the next year plus. And so, like, what God did with that faithfulness was very productive and fruitful. Because mm-hmm. I was ready to be like, okay, well, Jesus is my hope. it just was convenient that he was like, oh, sir, well, what happened to Jesus Christ? I was like, well, not that you mentioned it, actually, yes. So that's kind of funny. It's like a little burden off my chest to be like, okay, you know, you get that little fear anytime you're about to do it, but you push through and it's almost always... Mm-hmm. Going to change you. Even if the reaction is bad, it can often be the good change in your heart. I think almost every time if you step out, at least your heart is going to get softened
mm-hmm.
to him if you're willing to understand the context. Because it could be horrible. The reaction can be horrible. Maybe it's just a training in discipline, right?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I really do believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
In what I'm claiming to believe, you know?
Yeah. Hey, have you ever shared when it, like, went poorly?
Well,
poorly as in, like, you didn't get a positive response from whoever you're talking with.
It's usually not, like, no, I haven't gotten, like, super negative. Yeah, most of the time it's probably just like, oh, I understand. Especially in this... new world age where people think that, like, politics are going to, like, get you saved or whatever, you know, like, whatever they think is the actual thing that's going to help you. They're like, oh, yeah, I see that. Or,
yeah.
I respect your right to have a faith-based opinion, but, yeah. So it's usually more level than anything else. It's usually not
That's a hard thing with the, or at least in the U.S., it's a very tolerant culture of, like, oh, that's your truth, or that's how you deal with it. So it's hard to convey the importance of it being the only truth, the only way. I think sometimes it's harder to share directly with people, especially if you, like, just met them. And sometimes that is, like, the best way, and sometimes indirect is really good, too. And like you were talking about, it doesn't have to be in a church setting. I think some people think that you have to be, like, serving in a ministry or, like, have an opportunity to speak at a retreat or something like that. Like, that's, you're waiting for this moment that you can share the truth because you have, like, it's almost like you're already accepted. Like, you can already go and, like, people will accept what you're saying. But really, a lot of change can happen with that, too. Like, that's amazing when you have those opportunities. But also, it happens a lot, or it should happen a lot, too, with opportunities that aren't necessarily at church, like people that you just come in contact with or you can share the truth.
It should arguably happen more.
Say what?
It should arguably happen more.
Yeah, yeah. The building. The people who don't know him.
So I'm excited to be this. I can't say with honesty that it's been amazing yet, but I feel like this is a very good chance to not be in, like, a bubble. Where we are here, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, with the
numbers. Yeah, we're definitely not in a bubble.
So, yeah, being willing to share that. I think there's just random times where you could do stuff, like, and slowly building the seeds over time. Obviously, you don't know how everybody's life goes, and you don't know what's going to happen the next day. But if you can build seeds, I think this just reminded me. I was talking to a coworker. She had asked me a question. I'm an English teacher in a Japanese school. For those people who haven't listened before, I just started about a month ago, and the coworker asked me a clarifying question on a very nuanced piece of English because of the way that the student had answered the question. It was like, everything he says can be trustworthy. I think it's what the student wrote. Okay, so the student had written something to that degree.
Okay.
It was like, everything, but the correct answer was, everything he says can be trusted. I think, it was trustworthy. Either way, there was nuance around the word trustworthy and the way that it was kind of not ever able to be perfectly translated from Japanese, because trustworthy is this compound word. Worthy of trust, right? And so I was like, in the process of explaining this, long story short, I was like, finally dug through it and tried to figure out why the Japanese was confusing, because it's like the word dikiru is like to be able to, and so it was like shinjiru dikiru, which is like to be able to trust, and so it was like kind of two verbs that came together to make the one trustworthy adjective, and so that's where the student got confused and threw in the extra word can. When they made it not make sense. Regardless of the point, I got that opportunity very unintentionally and very unplanned to be like, so worthy, because it comes from two words. Worthy is a word we use a lot at church, actually. Because she's like, okay, what does this word mean? Like, worthy is a word we use as a word at church a lot, because we call God worthy, because he is always done what he said he would do. He's been faithful to his commitments all this time, right? And so that's why we call him worthy, because we have seen and read and heard that he is worthy of our trust, because he has done what he said he would do. And it didn't go beyond that, but even that little nugget, right, is like, like, I don't know what that, it may even just, you know, flowing through one ear and out the other, but if you're ready and it's on your mind, you can share at any moment.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's interesting that happened.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you're, that's why, in the Bible tells us that we should be praying consistently, praying constantly, like not stopping praying, basically. And when we are talking to him, he makes us aware of people who need to hear it, or like it's on our minds and it's on our hearts already, so it just makes it easier to share. I'm not great at doing that, honestly. I get caught in my own thoughts and I'm not praying all the time like I should be. But when I am more consistent with prayer and it's just like more of like in my life, then it's very interesting how my eyes are open to people around me more. And like almost like I'll get like these messages almost that like I feel like they need to hear and like be able to talk to me if it's like a stranger or like maybe someone I know, but usually like someone I don't know. And not necessarily going up to them and saying like, Jesus died on the cross for you, but like some word of encouragement that I feel like they need to hear. And then I don't know. And it's not something that I come up with on my own. It's just because I'm like talking to him and all of a sudden he like highlights someone for me to talk to. So, but yeah, like you were saying, like just being ready for that. And it's like, you're more ready for that and you're more wanting to share if you're talking to him all the time. But if you're not connected to him or you're not like focused on him in your heart and mind, then like, why would you think to share that, I guess? But yeah. Do you have any just general advice for sharing the gospel or telling people about Jesus?
You can do it. He's faithful. I think we've hit on a lot of these things. I don't know. I think prayer, obviously. is the biggest one, like you were just saying. It's like having that attitude of, you know, supplication and needing him. I think that's the big thing too, is like you start losing track of, oh, how am I doing this? How am I doing this? How am I going to do this? How am I going to be able to do this today? How am I, you know, you start locking him out of what he's trying to share with people. I think you can remember to be very prayerful and, you know, turning yourself to him and focusing on, oh, this is his gospel, not for me. You know, it may be true, I mean, to you, but it's, you know, all-time truth, but it doesn't mean it's just true to you and it's not your burden to bear, right? And so, big picture. Context, which is hard because I live in the immediate surroundings, and so he's just coming from someone who struggles with this, but big picture, it's not your gospel. It's like doing the people initially reject Saul, and God tells him, Samuel, he's like, it's not, or the people reject Samuel and they want to choose Saul, right? They want a king over them that's, you know, not Samuel as the judge, right? And he's like, well, Samuel, basically, I'm paraphrasing big time, it's not you they're rejecting, it's me, right? They're rejecting me as their king.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're asking for this human leader, this human king to rule over them. So if people reject you, it's not you. It's him.
Yeah. And it's actually like a good thing too. And like in Acts, I was actually just reading this like today, but they were rejoicing when they were released another time because like they were found worthy of being mistreated for his name. Like, what a perspective to have that.
Very different. Yes. Wow.
But yeah, that's good stuff. It's good to pray about it. Sometimes it's good to even share, like, your personal experience, too. Like, look how God's changed me. I used to be like this, and now I'm that's like this. Like, yes. That's because that's not something that you can make up, obviously. Like, it's not something you can do on your own. It's his work in you. And also just, like, focusing on the relationship aspect and not just being like, oh, I go to church on Sunday. Mm. But, like, I talked to God today, and this is what he said, and he's so sweet and so kind and so loving. Like, the relationship aspect is really the important thing, not like, oh, I tithe and I make sure I serve this many weeks and I, like, I don't know. The religion is something we get caught up in a lot instead of remembering that it really is about loving him and loving others. Like, those are the two most important things. But yeah, in general, just I think as a American culture, we just need to be bolder, really.
Yeah.
Not being afraid of what people think. And just sharing the truth and grace.
Hmm.
Like not being afraid to say the truth, not watering it down. Because that's not really love, not sharing the full, whole, honest, only truth. But also not shoving it in people's faces harshly, but having grace and compassion. Because again, it's about loving him and loving others. So that's both truth and grace in that. Got a couple of verses here from 1 Peter 3 verses 13 through 17 says, "Who then will harm you if you are devoted to what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear them or be intimidated, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and reverence, keeping a clear conscience, so that when you are accused, those who disparage your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." And in Colossians 4, it says, "Act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech be always gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person."
Mm.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
What if the Japanese translation says soy sauce instead of salt?
Maybe. It is rather salty.
Yeah, I suppose.
Do you think it preserves things?
Yeah, I suppose it's quite...
Does add flavor.
Breaks the translation a little bit. It breaks the intent.
Yeah.
Mm.
I have to check into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
I thought it was about the savoriness.
I think it is that too, but so salt used to be like
a preserver.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It still is. It's beef jerky. Anyway, which we were told we didn't find here, and I found very quickly. Side point. Anyway, thank you for this time, Rachel. Glad to be here. I think let's love people well.
Hmm. That's good. Yeah, thanks for joining. It's always a pleasure having your thoughts and your words and your voice on here. And I just want to say, if you're listening and you don't trust in Jesus, I just want to say thanks for listening. And I don't think it's by accident that you are here listening to this podcast today. So please feel free to send us a message. And thanks for listening, everybody, to the Life is Hard, God is Good podcast. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Feel free to send us a message. And please rate, write reviews, and share with your friends. And have a great week. May the Lord bless you and keep you.